We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We have a lot going on today. Lamar Jackson publicly announced his trade request via his Twitter. We'll get into that. We do have Andrew Berry speaking to the media, Browns GM. Maybe the best thing to come out today, or worse, depending on how you look at it, is the Browns 2023 NFL draft hat came out today, Dusty.
One of the worst look. I mean, I feel like we say this every year. The hats are all not great, by the way. Just to be fair. They are all not great.
You're talking about all NFL draft hats.
They're all sort of similar. They're all kind of like gray with similar logos. And
they try too hard. The
Browns just don't have much to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they always screw the Browns. See, they get the worst looking hats.
That's
ever.
Actually what, like, I understand the brown and orange color scheme. Yeah. Not great, Bob. I do feel like you could get real creative and have some fun with it, though. And I just feel like every time I see it, it doesn't translate. And it just feels like so close. You're so close to, like, I think you could really do some cool stuff with brown and orange. It just feels like a lot like the Browns on the field missed it by this much. In this case, missed it by a
that
mile.
Much.
Maybe by a mile.
I mean, use the elf. You use the elf still.
Yes.
Right?
Can we just make the elf the logo?
Fine.
I realize that to some people that's an unpopular opinion, and people like to make fun of the elf.
I don't think people here think it's unpopular. I think people nationally, like if you're Rich Eisen, and you got your, you know, I'm trying to be nice. He's a Michigan guy.
Yeah. He's flawed. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a sweet person.
I'm sure he's super sweet.
But
he raises tons of money for, you know, all kinds of charities and things. Yeah. Good for him.
Good for that.
But he has bad takes.
And he chose to live in Michigan for 4 years of his life. That's I mean, what more can we say about him?
He's a Michigan man.
So you guys can see that at Nick Wilson says, I just retweeted, I can't remember who actually tweeted the actual picture, but all Twitter reactions on today's show brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And is it time?
Oh, yeah.
Can we take the Cavs victory lap?
Nick,
the Cavs clinched the playoff spot.
I think we do. I think we can.
So it depends on what victory lap we're talking about here. Because if we're talking about the victory lap of this season has really shaped up to be a resounding success. The regular season, as of the second, the fourth seed became a reality and looked like they were going to lock it in. It's a success. People trying to turn that into a early post-LeBron Cavs victory lap. Can we hold the phone on that one? Respectfully, can we hold the phone?
Respectfully, yes.
Yeah, they clinched a playoff spot. I saw a bunch of crappy Cavs teams do that with Terrell Brandon and Chris Mills and one-legged Mark Price, like teams that had no chance of doing anything in the playoffs. So, like, I'm all here for this is the beginning of potentially one of the most fruitful Cavs runs that didn't involve LeBron in Cavs history. That I'm here for. They're on the they could be. You always got to use could be because it's sports and injuries happen and people get people change their mind and want to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But this could be we could be entering a run that's at least equal to Mark Price and Larry Nance. That's the kind of talent they have, the core talent that they have right now. But it's day one. It would be, to me, when we talk about post-LeBron success,
to me,
it'd be like if I laid the foundation to a house and said, hey, guys, you like my new house? Well, you got to add the walls. You got to add heating, electric, all the other stuff before it's really a house. And the Cavs, they just don't have the time to have done that yet. But it's this, and I think some of it comes from this weird insecurity, or maybe it's just a weird dislike of LeBron for some Cavs fans, that, okay, now we don't need LeBron anymore. It's almost like an insecurity, Dusty, that because LeBron didn't just make your best moment in franchise history, he probably made best moments 2 through 10,
mm-hmm.
that it's like people want the Cavs to be able to prove themselves without LeBron. Like, it's in some way, it's a credibility thing. Right? Well, who are we without LeBron? I just can't wrap my head around that. Like, Kobe Altman was a part of that Cavs run. Kobe Altman learned lessons of that era of LeBron helping David Griffin and not David Blatt, Tyronn Lue. And like, that's where Kobe Altman became an executive that eventually became the GM. So even though LeBron isn't here, even though LeBron might only be tangibly responsible for the winning in Cleveland. Yes, LeBron, we got to give him some credit for his second comeback and what that's meant for the Cavs, because it's part of elevating the organization to a level they had never been. So I don't see the need to divorce it the way I think a lot of people seem to want to say, oh, we're winning without LeBron. Look how good we are. I kind of don't understand that, yeah. That thought.
I think you can look at it in a couple ways. I think you can also be like, it's kind of nice to not have to have the best player in the world. And he chose to leave us, right, again.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be in Los Angeles. And this team, our team, was left kind of high and dry a little bit. And they figured out a way relatively quickly to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels good.
It's interesting because I didn't realize, and maybe this was, you know, I was kind of on my way out when LeBron was on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the amount, I don't want to say vitriol, because that's probably the wrong word, but that LeBron 2.0 is still a sore spot for some people, meaning him leaving for the second time is still a sore point for some Cavs fans. Because after he won the title, everything that happened after 2016 was gravy to me. He didn't owe me, well, one, he didn't owe us to come back and win the title. No matter whether he's from Akron or whether he's from, you know, just down the road or whatever. But, like, it's funny. I assumed we were all on the same page, whereas, like, I saw last night, to me, it's not just about, oh, can we get back to that level? Like, it's completely different. Like, LeBron, the Cavs aren't even the hunted yet. The Cavs are still the hunter. They finally kind of got to experience what it's like for teams to take you seriously every single game. But, like, guys, they were the fourth seed, and you still had certain teams choose to rest their best player against you, like contending teams, like the Warriors, who at the time were a contending team before, you know what, hit the fan for them.
Yeah.
So, like, and I don't mean to say this in a negative way, but, like, Boston is the hunted. Boston was in the finals last year. Boston was sick of the regular season. Boston, if they could sim to the NBA finals and guarantee they're in it, they would do it. Because nothing else matters other than winning a championship. Milwaukee, they've won the NBA championship. Giannis is the best player in the NBA. Whether he gets the MVP, basically, to some degree, he's like LeBron, where every year you could just give him the MVP.
Right.
Milwaukee's the hunted. The Cavs are still very much the hunter. And Donovan helped jump a few, you know, rungs of competition.
It changed the expectations dramatically.
But the expectations this year still aren't championship. And so none of this is to downplay the significance. I just am not ready to be like, all right, now we're cooking with fire. I want to see it repeatedly. To me, the post-LeBron, this organization is elevated to a level that it hasn't been with, except for LeBron. To me, that's about winning consistently in the playoffs over 3 to 4 years. And that really is what the Donovan trade is. Evan and Darius probably control whether the Cavs are going to win a title in the next 10 years. Yeah. Donovan probably helps you stick in there as those guys try to figure it out and work together, a la like what Kyrie should have been to Boston with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown 4 or 5 years ago. So I almost, you know, like on one hand, I don't want to diminish the LeBron years. And on two, I don't want to diminish these years. It's just, it's way too early to be taking some sort of victory lap of...
They haven't won a championship yet.
They haven't won a playoff series. They haven't won a playoff game. Haven't had the chance to yet. But like, I love where the Cavs are. But in the same way, like, because I feel like this is the opposite of the expectations thing. Like, I think a fair amount of people haven't wanted to have expectations for the Cavs this year because it cheapens the experience. Right? If you start to have expectations and they falter, you're going to start looking at them differently. You're not going to enjoy it the same way. We kind of learned that from LeBron's second run here, of where all of a sudden expectations can kind of become insidious when they're not met, and it can ruin fandom.
Yep.
I kind of think that's tied to, though, people who want to just now are like, all right, post-LeBron, it's a success. We can move on. No. That was great. It was over 4 years ago, and the Cavs are building something really special. We don't have to knock down one era of Cavs basketball to build up another, and conversely, if this team can put together a four-year run, anything like the LeBron years, it'll be at least the second best thing to ever happen to Cavs basketball. And here's the thing, unlike Terrell Brandon and Wes Person and 22-year-old Zydrunas Ilgauskas, they actually have a chance. That's enough for me right now.
They've got a great chance.
216-474-0092. How do you guys view the playoff berth clinching? Do you look at this as a post-LeBron victory lap? Is that what today's going to be for you guys? So if you guys haven't seen it, it's the most ridiculous picture. And every year it's kind of like a thing. And, you know, Andy Berger looks like he's about to go to like a great burger joint every year. This year he actually kind of looks a little slimmed down. Maybe he's down to one burger a day. But I'm going to give you one guess at the only coach. Actually, no. One of two coaches that I can see wearing a suit coat at the NFL coaches meeting. Any guess on who one of the two coaches is?
Well, I'm looking at it now, so I can't guess.
Kayla. No, I'm kidding.
You just said you're going to send it to me. Well, so now I'm looking at it.
I know. I killed the bit before you could kill the bit. Kevin Stefanski. Kev, Bob.
That's what I was going to guess.
I teed
Mike
it up.
Mike Tomlin's got a coat on.
Let me see. Where's Mike Tomlin? Yeah, there. Wow, he really just... That's a gray suit. That's a good-looking suit. I didn't realize
that
was a suit.
Who's the coach behind Stefanski with the coat on?
Isn't that Steichen? It's Steichen or Gannon.
I don't recognize
him. They kind of look like the same dude.
No, Gannon's sitting next to Mike McDaniel.
Okay, then it's Steichen.
And also, Mike McCarthy's got a jacket on.
All right, I'm just really bad at the bit. Anyways, Brian Daboll looks like a high school gym teacher, but like a cool one. Like he's high school gym teacher and head football coach for like a private school.
Man, Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay sitting next to each other. And by the way, McVay with the shades on.
Yeah, that's a pretty baller look. Yeah, he's pulling it off.
I got a buddy of mine who just signed on with the Rams to be on their staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, McVay is just ridiculous. Like the coolest guy in the world to work for.
It was gonna sound like a shot at John Gruden, and I'm not gonna do that because I like me some John Gruden as long as we stay away from his emails. But can't stay away from the Cavs talk. I'll tell you what, man.
I can type an email, man.
It's such a slippery slope between that and the Bears that I easily go into the Bears trying to do the Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about the Cavaliers clinching the first playoff series, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Cavs are where they are today without LeBron's second run. That's a pretty good like one-liner, right? Like that kind of like that's a little that gets some heat on it, some English.
Little English on it, huh?
Now I'm going to sell it to you.
Sell it.
I don't think Donovan Mitchell would have been cool coming to Cleveland 20 years ago. Like, the kind of superstars, like
Are you trying to make the point, Nick, that LeBron has saved the image of the Cavaliers?
I think he elevated it. In the same way that I think Kawhi winning a title in Toronto forever changed, at least in the short term, the next 10 years, how we perceive that organization.
They're champions.
I feel like LeBron did the same thing. And I think LeBron proved you can win here. Like, we didn't know if somebody could win a title in a Canadian market because of the difference in the dollar, because of who that organization had been. Vince Young's a superstar. Vince Young gets frustrated. Vince Young leaves. Chris Bosh, superstar. Chris Bosh gets frustrated. Chris Bosh leaves. That's who they had been. And even though Kawhi Leonard left, he won a title first. And I feel like LeBron was the same way. Larry Nance, you got a all-time great player. Larry Nance came here, retired, didn't win a title. To some people, if you look at it from the historical perspective, it's a really good move. Wasn't a transcendent move.
Right.
Fat Sean Kemp. You made
Fat Sean Kemp.
Okay, he was skinny when you got him, and then apparently he just really loved the food around here and bulked up. But Sean Kemp was actually a really good trade the first couple of years because he was a really good basketball player. Maybe not transcendent anymore, but really good. Those were the kind of guys. Like Larry Nance, disgruntled in Phoenix for a good reason, and a little bit older. Sean Kemp, just this side of a cheeseburger. Those are the kind of guys who had a plenty of wear and tear. Guys like Donovan Mitchell, 25, 26 years old, peak of their career, still somewhat of an ascending player. Those guys weren't choosing Cleveland over New York or forcing, basically leaving it open-ended of, I would like to go somewhere else, and not blocking a trade to Cleveland or not making a stink about coming to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think that doesn't happen without winning a title with LeBron. I think Donovan's even talked about his love of LeBron, him growing up in the Cavs jersey. Now, that's not to give the credit to LeBron, or to give all the credit, because that organization still made it happen. Because Dan Gilbert went and kowtowed to LeBron and got LeBron back. Because they made a bunch of moves, like the Kevin Love move. Like it, love it, hate it, historically, I don't think you win a title without Kevin Love.
I've said that 100 times.
That to me is the impact here of, we want to try and divorce the eras because, I'll be honest, it didn't feel great, the constant pressure of going from no stakes with the Cavs, Kyrie, Mike Brown getting fired, Kyrie, Dion Waiters fighting in the locker room. It didn't feel great going from that to being the hunted literally every single year and just get us to the playoffs. This is much slower, much more organic. But I don't think one happens without the other. I landed the plane on that. That was a good take.
That was pretty good. That was a good take. Yeah. I like that take.
And there was a little passion, but I took it seriously, but had a little fun there too. Yeah. A little Dion Waiters, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's see what Todd thinks.
Todd.
Dustin, Nick.
Todd.
Nick, did you mean Vince Carter when you said Vince Young?
Him too.
I wasn't clear. I was thinking you must have meant Vince
I was
Carter.
Sick last Thursday. Sorry about that.
Okay. Apology accepted. As long as you expressed it in a timely manner. So, I have this to say on what you're talking about, though. If you're going to give them credit for the team being where they are today as far as their success, you should also acknowledge that it's because of those bad contracts that he helped inspire that it took him so long to get back to this point. Isn't that fair, too?
That's fair.
Yep. And this playoff thing at this point doesn't rank anywhere with me. It doesn't mean anything to me except for they made the playoffs. That's the minimum standard for success right there. So I'm grateful that they're in it because that's why you play the participation period of the season, which is the regular season, to get to the playoffs where you have to earn your way in. I'm grateful for that. But that's all it is an entry step to get to the championship. And I'm with you, man. Put the elf back. Make the elf the logo.
So why not?
Yeah, put the elf on the side of the helmet with a stiff arm out, the football tucked under, and a charging forward motion with the teeth gritted and the ears pinned back.
Give me a scary elf, right? Right now it's kind of like a whimsical elf. Give me a little more frightening. I like where you are on this, Todd. We appreciate you.
Stop it.
He loves it. Don't let him say otherwise. Yeah. So the point when we're talking about the Cavs' accomplishments, it is not in any way to downgrade what they've done. Because, like, in 2 months' time, if they've gotten through a first-round series, whether the three or the four seed, we'll get into that as well, if they've gotten through the first-round series and they're making a hard charge for a second-round play, well, even if they don't win, if they push that against Milwaukee or Boston to six or seven games, that's mission accomplished year one. But you don't move on from the LeBron era with 1 year. Right, how many years did it take them to truly just get to a point where they're competitive enough? Well, last year was what, year four without LeBron? This is year five without LeBron 2.0? So it's less about, I give LeBron credit or bleep anybody for saying, but it's more about, like, if we're going to enjoy the process, you can't just enjoy the process of, I love this team and it's fun, and we're right now we're still the hunter and we're going to be the hunt, you know. Well, eventually, you got to enjoy the process of unassuming, unattaching yourself.
There you go.
Detaching yourself.
Detaching.
From LeBron is your main focal point. And, like, if there are people out there, I'll just be 100% honest. If you ever want a moment where LeBron isn't the preeminent main image of what people think about when they think of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball, then this team has to win a title. And soon. Because I think it was Lima made the point about how long it took the Bulls to move on from Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if Derrick Rose and that team wins a title, the Bulls are looked at in a completely different, relatively recent historical perspective. They haven't. They topped out. They topped out multiple times, both with Derrick and then with Jimmy. And that's kind of who they are. They've been a middle-of-the-road, fledgling organization post-Michael Jordan.
They've had the shadow of MJ over them for the last 25 years.
And so in another way, I do think it's really important that this team continues to grow and grow together, and that you don't have to come to a point where you have to choose between Donovan and Darius, where you don't get to a point where maybe these guys fall out of love with playing each other and all of a sudden there are egotistical issues like what we've seen in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's they're in a great spot, but we're at the bottom of Everest here. And more importantly, I'm just excited to see how far they can really go.
I'm excited to see that first playoff game.
Yeah. See, to me, it's... All right, I'm jumping ahead here. To me, it's about...
You've been off for a couple of days.
Well, okay, not because of that.
I know.
I'm just Mr. ADD. To me, it's because...
Welcome to my life.
To me, it's because I'm excited about that second-round series. I'm not counting a first-round series win. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm really excited to see. It's really tough. Like, unless you're an NBA diehard who sees this, and, you know, progression is not always linear in the NBA. But when you have guys as young as the Cavs have, specifically Darius and Evan, you put these guys in a seven-game series, and you should see them grow by leaps and bounds. But it's not just from one game to the next. Every series you get into this, every series you get deeper, I mean, I think we've already seen the value of those guys, but you're going to see how quickly those guys can really mature. And honestly, like, I'm more excited about watching those guys develop than I even am about wins and losses with the Cavs. It doesn't mean I don't have expectations for them. That's not what I'm saying. But man, I'm excited to see how much these kids can soak in into that environment, whether they sink or swim early, because if they can tread water early, you tread water early, you start to win a playoff series, you get into that second round, all of a sudden you're going to go from treading water to being able to really thrive. And if you can thrive in the NBA playoffs, that's when we start talking about those two guys leading you to potential NBA championships.
Look, I remember the last several playoff series when the Cavs had LeBron, and I know a lot of the times they're playing like the Celtics in the first round, and I go to a lot of playoff games,
mm-hmm.
and the atmosphere in the building was just like, okay, it was almost like regular season.
Yeah.
This is going to be so much different.
Yeah.
I heard Lima this morning. I agree 100% with him. That place is going to be bananas for that first round series. It matters. Every game, every shot, you're going to feel like on pins and needles. Can they get through the first series?
It almost felt like there was a lack of intrigue in early playoff series with this LeBron 2.0. It kind of like what we're talking about Boston. Let's just fast forward to the NBA Finals and see what happens. Now, the downside is there's a chance you get bopped out in the first round.
Right.
That is the downside. But I agree with you. I'm really excited to see the atmosphere in that building. 216-474-0092. The Cavs clinching the playoffs. Just clinching the first playoff series since 1998. How significant of an accomplishment is that? I thought you and I were on the same side of what we're about to talk about, and turns out, Mr. Foofy, that's you, because I'm you can never
call me.
Is that
my official nickname, Mr. Foofy?
I think in comparison, like you're okay. Foofy because I'm a slob. So it's the only, if I got to be a slob, you got to be Foofy.
I'll take it.
All right. I assumed you were on I assumed I was on your side on this. Turns out we're not. How do you want to do this?
So I saw this tweet over the weekend from somebody on social media. I think it's a guy who works at Barstool. Anyway, I sent it to you, and I was only thinking about this because this weekend, let me read the tweet if I can find it. I'm going to a wedding this weekend in New Orleans. It's a friend of mine. It's a kind of a destination wedding. They've got family from all over the country, whatever. So they're doing it in New Orleans, and the wedding is a black tie wedding. And so I saw this tweet and I sent it to you. It says, why would people ever do black tie weddings? Immediately ruins everyone's mood before the thing even starts. Ain't nobody ever open up a wedding invite and say, yes, so happy it's black tie. It's always, oh crap, does my suit fit anymore?
Which, by the way, that's whether it's a black tie event or not. Everything is, do my nice clothes fit anymore?
Yes. So the wedding I'm going to this weekend is a black tie. And I'm like, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I don't hate it.
Because what does black tie really mean?
Oh, it's a snobbery thing. We won't have everybody dressed to the nines.
I understand that. But like, I don't know that I've been to many black tie events. Like, I'm not wearing a tuxedo. I'm going to wear a black suit and a black tie and a white shirt.
Yeah, okay.
And black shoes.
I think that's close enough, right?
I mean, I actually do have a tuxedo, but I'm going to wear it. I'm not going to wear a bow tie.
I think the implication is that it's tuxedo based, that it's everybody is like super elegant, but I don't think anybody's going to call you out for wearing a suit that is a good suit. You know what I mean? I think it's more like wear your absolute best.
Like I've got a black tux. So I'll wear that, and I'll probably just wear I guess I could get a bow tie. Definitely getting a clip on.
I go bolo tie. Just real.
Should I?
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Only if you bring back the mustache.
No, I can't because I got to be on TV next week.
Oh, well, you could then shave the mustache.
I could just
off.
Shave. I could, then I'd be.
Yeah. Just fresh face.
Bald.
Yeah.
And your black cowboy hat with the bolo tie.
I don't know if they'd love that.
That's black. Them.
So, all right. To me, I'm actually okay with a black tie event. It depends on the person, though. It depends on the situation. Like, if you're going to if you've gone all out with your wedding and you or your family spending an incredible amount of money on it.
Yes.
I can't fight it. It's like when people have cash bars. Like, if it's an elegant place, okay, I get it. In my case, we're all Hungarian, so we're all alcoholics. That doesn't fly. But, like, it's all about, but if you go and it's a black tie event, and then it's kind of like I'm trying to say this without being a snob. If it's kind of like just a, okay.
No, these people got money.
Okay, then, yep.
They got money. Both sides got money.
And then I got to dress up to your level.
Right. And here's the thing I was thinking about. I talked to the groom, and I'm like, because he called me. He's like, hey, you know, it's black tie, just FYI. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I got a black suit. He's like, that's fine. I'm like, why black tie? He's like, well, you know, just kind of. I'm trying to keep riffraff out. I'm like,
yep.
And I said this to Andy before the show, and he's like, well, I'm like, dude, everyone's family has riffraff.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody. Yeah.
Like, they're trying to make people in their family, because if you're coming to the wedding, you want the people that you know. No offense, Nick. Like, if I was inviting you to a wedding, I'd just let you know the dress code.
That's fair.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But no.
Oh, no. I absolutely am the riffraff. Okay.
You would be considered riffraff.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I actually have lived my life
we all have
to make
family.
Everybody know that I am the riffraff.
Don't we all have family members that we'd be a little nervous about them coming to our wedding?
Yeah, but for different reasons. right?
That's fair.
There's the drama queen. There's the alcoholic.
Yep.
There's the person who might be more than an alcoholic. There is, they're just the people who you know hate each other and you've got to try and keep a certain amount. Usually it's like exes or something like that. You've got to keep them like a certain amount of space away. And then there are just people you just don't like.
Right.
Isn't that the bee when you're like, that was when Ness and I were getting married and we're going through the guest list. We had 100, 120 people. And there were like 20 people at my wedding that I was like, take or leave it. I don't want to work at the time. I had two jobs because we're in part-time here and I had a full-time job. And I was working extra at my other job to pay for it. Like we're in like 70-hour weeks to pay for it. And I was like, man, I can't believe I'm working 70-hour weeks plus another 20 here just so I can work, have that, you know what, at my wedding.
All those people you listed, by the way, are my mom's entire side of the family, mm-hmm. and they all wear jeans to every single event. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is, but it's always drama, alcoholic, fighting, literal fist fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very nervous for the day.
Make it black tie.
Oh, no,
I don't want to wear black tie.
No, see, I think you're in your 30s, right? All right. Do the right thing. It's a destination wedding.
That also keeps the riffraff out because people got to pay to get there.
Yeah, when I say destination, I'm not saying you got to go to Myrtle, but make it far enough that the people you don't like can't travel that far. All right? And I know that there are money considerations, so if you can't do that, I'll tell you right now, if tomorrow Vanessa left me, it'd take a long time to rebuild because I'm not getting a woman better than her. That's just let's just be honest about this. She is the peak of what I could ever get in my life. But if I were to ever get married, I am damn sure not going back to a chapel. I am damn sure not going back. Nope. It's going to be me and wifey 2.0, my children, if she has kids, and maybe like one relative I like on the beach. That's it. And by the way, I don't think you should do destination weddings if it's your first wedding. Just while we're at it, nope. You got to suffer through that first wedding like the rest of us do. You got as many guests as you can afford showing up.
We had 500.
Yep. Yeah, I don't even know. I'll be honest with you. We probably could add 500, and I wouldn't have known like a third of them.
My next wedding will have 50.
No, trim.
Maybe 25.
Condense. Like 10 people. That's all you need. Right? Well, you're different because you've got a scene that you kind of operate in.
Yeah, you know.
And not I. Maybe my dog. It'd be me, my dog. She'd be lucky to be there if I ever remarried. 216-474-0092. Black tie events. Charming or chotch. Now, again, it's all... I would like to add a caveat. If I go to a black tie event
mm-hmm.
and there's somebody there with jeans on and they're not immediately kicked out...
What if that person's wearing a blazer and a bolo tie and a $1,000 pair of cowboy boots and they look like Matthew McConaughey?
Okay, you mean they're dressed like Matthew McConaughey or they actually look like Matthew McConaughey?
That's probably the difference.
Because right. If they look like Matthew McConaughey, that dude can do anything. Because he's just, all right.
Well, I wasn't invited to this wedding, but here I am.
You guys. No.
What do you got?
No, I was going to do a really bad Matthew McConaughey. All I really have is an all right. That's all there is. Yeah.
Are you worried about the heat and humidity? In black tie down in New Orleans.
Oh, I haven't actually checked the weather this weekend.
Well, no.
That's what I would be worried about.
You're not going to New Orleans, right? I thought it was the tweet of the friend.
No. I'm going to New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Friday. I conflated the two things.
You know, imagine Friday when I told you I need to bounce out of here at 6:50 to catch this flight. And I'm off work Monday because I'll be in New Orleans. Forget about that?
No, because I'm also off work on Monday.
Are you
Dave,
ready?
Welcome to the show. Nice.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, buddy. What you got?
So, destination wedding is the way to go. Like, we did the Hawaii destination wedding because we, you know, worked in the service industry and went to all these weddings where they paid, like, $80,000 for all these flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You get the wedding cheaper when you go there and you have less people go. Much more fun.
So, here's the other appeal. You don't have as many people complaining about the wedding. And you can speak to this, Dave. The amount of people that came to my wedding, at which I mostly paid for, that then had some sort of complaint about my wedding, was a real kick in the nards on what was supposed to be, and was, the greatest day of my life.
Well, that's another thing. You're completely right about that, because nobody was complaining about going to Hawaii. They're like, oh, sorry.
So sorry, we dragged you to paradise.
That's the way to go right there, personally.
Dave, we appreciate you, buddy. Real quick, Slater, good on you, my friend. Welcome to the show. What you got for us?
So my less than $5,000 non-black tie wedding, we had at a beautiful mansion, and then we had the celebration the next day at a very nice local golf simulator that had a very nice bar and like speakeasy kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way to go. We had our own colors. Like, we didn't have traditional colors either for the wedding. It was red, black, and white. So, and my wife was in a black dress, so very different. It had our own little spin on it. Just go not traditional, and I think you'll be fine with whatever kind of event it is. As far as the black tie events, yeah, it is kind of chotch. I think so.
Slater, you are not chotch. We appreciate you, buddy. Here's my thing. Do whatever you want, whatever's going to make you happy, and I will comply, because that is part of me going to your wedding. I also will not complain. I will comply and not complain. But if there is one person not in compliance, oh, I will complain. If my fat ass squeezes into a tux or a really nice suit and I see Uncle Jethro has got his dirty bleep kickers on and he's got jeans on, I'm either throwing him out or you're refunding my money on my tuxedo. Got real there for a second.
It got real.
Got real, real. I got heated. I'm going to put the tiger back in the cage.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.